All right, so what were we saying? We're saying the trend of the shahadas we've seen because of Gaza and what's going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've definitely seen a big uptick since then.
At Tatlif and just what we're hearing from other communities everywhere.
You know what's crazy, man? I've been thinking about this a lot. We put so much effort and intentionality behind Tatlif. You know, one of the craziest things, like, but TikTok is like outstripped everybody in Dawah in a matter of moments.
Yeah.
It was just hilarious. That
Megan Rice.
Yeah, Megan Rice.
Doing the most right now. You know,
there's like, so many of TikTokers like her. Mm. There's even this guy, he's an atheist who started reading the Quran. And it's like anyone who's picking up to read the Quran, they're just getting thousands and thousands of followers.
Yeah.
Right away. And they're just, for the first time, commenting on what they're reading, and it's really fascinating and it's amazing. Even last week when I was giving khutbah at MCC, this lady came up to me right after the khutbah. She's like, I'm really interested in Islam. I said, okay, let's sit down and talk. And she said that the first thing that brought her to knowing about Quran and Islam was TikTok and the people at TikTok and what they're doing. So it's actually really happening.
It's all over social media. I sent you that YouTube video of the guy who read the Quran for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of impressive. Just, he's coming in completely fresh. And his impression of it is just like very, very positive. Like he read the Fatiha. He started reading Baqarah, and he's like, yeah, like this seems all like just completely like agreeable. Like, I don't see anything here that I disagree with. And he said in another video, like, I'm someone who already believes in God. But he's reading all these religious texts right now. And he did like one video on the Bhagavad Gita. And another video on something else, but he did like multiple videos on the Quran, and you can tell like which one he's actually identifying with. And he's like, he's almost already like in a position of like defending the things that he's reading, right? So he's like getting comments, you know, like, why are you reading this? Or like, oh, read this chapter, read verse 434 about the women. And he's like just straight up giving dawah. He's not Muslim, but he's like giving really great dawah.
The funniest thing is that, well, not funny, what's really interesting how Allah works, right? Like, by the way, if you're hearing a lot of background noise, we're at Brew Point Coffee in Elmhurst. Just decided to
so this is real. Have this, a conversation. This is going up on the feed.
We'll see. But I was actually at Tatlif in the Bay also last weekend. And these two ladies came up to me and they were like, is this really happening where people are actually taking their shahada because of what's happening in Gaza? I said, yeah, very much so. Like at Tatlif alone, we've seen a huge uptick, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody saw that video recently where I gave shahada to a girl named Jackie. Yeah. And all of a sudden it just blew up. And
Jackie is a TikTok personality as well.
Yeah, she is. And we learned that afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had no idea when she came into the space, which is great because she saw what Tatlif does as it does normally.
Yeah.
And even some people were fascinated because they're like, is this how you guys always give shahadas? Or is this something specific or special because you guys knew it was Jackie? I was like, we had no idea. This is how we just make space for people to take shahada. And they were really impressed. But what's really amazing is how many people that are not Muslim reading the Quran now consistently. They're reading the Quran consistently. And because of that, Muslims are saying they want to read the Quran.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Yeah. Sounds crazy, but that's really what's happening. Even my wife and some of her group chats, they're all like, this is inspiring me to want to read the Quran again and re-engage with the Quran again. Allah's amazing. It's like such a beautiful, mysterious way that He works in the midst of complete tragedy and horror.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. What do you mean? Like, inna ma'al usri yusra? Is that what you're saying? Or
no, like just, with just like, you know, you're right, it's an amazing thing, but why? why, like, if we had to, like, try to pin down a reason for why this event, because this happens every couple, like, few years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We've seen waves, but this has been greater than most.
I don't mean, like, the waves of shahadas. I mean Israel bombing Gaza.
Oh, okay.
It happens, like, every few years.
Yeah.
You don't usually get to see any sort of, like, tangible result in terms of, like, people taking interest in Islam as a result of a political situation in the Middle East. So, like, why is this time special?
One of them is obviously the way social media is spread now.
Yeah.
You know, you can't filter these kind of... In the past, even 5 years ago, you could say, like, oh, yeah, we had social media, but it wasn't like this. You can't really block out the way people are interacting to news instantly as much, right? Unless you're just watching things through CNN or a filter or whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, people are literally just jumping on their own, what we would have called, like, in the 90s, like, video vlog type thing, right? And they're just consistently uploading their certain reactions. Also, what triggers them, I think, is because they're seeing the news feed unfiltered from people in Gaza in their rawness, like in the moment of something horrific happening, and they're in awe, like, I just cannot believe this is how this person is reacting to this. How are they standing firm in this? How are they even remembering God after all this?
Yeah.
And they're, like, in shock, and it puts them in such a state that they're like, I gotta open up this Quran.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, like, you kept saying TikTok. I think TikTok specifically is a big part of this. And maybe Twitter to a certain degree as well. But, you know, earlier in the year, we had those hearings on TikTok in Congress. And they were all kind of freaking out. And the threat was, like, we're going to ban TikTok in the U.S. And some of them just straight up came out and said it. I think Dan Crenshaw is, like, a representative from Texas. He straight up said, the issue with this is that the American government doesn't have regulatory control over TikTok because it's a Chinese company.
Yeah.
And I think along with that, it's like in the same way that, like, the mainstream media is censored and controlled by American interests, you know, and so you don't see, like, you certainly don't see the level of, like, carnage from Gaza on CNN that you do online, even on, like, American social media platforms. But I think it's even more unfiltered on TikTok and probably now Twitter too, because Elon bought Twitter. It's X now. He removed a lot of the filtering mechanisms that were in place before he bought it.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? He recently said a statement that shocked everyone that showed he was, like, very much pro, like, protecting Israel at one point. That kind of shocked everyone because it didn't fall into kind of, like, his whole MO in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there were some pressures from the outside that really pushed
him. There definitely are.
You know what I mean?
But he's, you know, I don't think a lot of people know this, but, like, after he bought Twitter, it came out that the FBI had a direct line of contact with people at Twitter to say, hey, like, we want this post specifically taken down, or we want every post with, like, this certain hashtag taken down. Like, the government was directly censoring Twitter. And when Elon bought it, he removed all of that and exposed it.
Wow.
So it's more unfiltered than it used to be, right? And, you know, with TikTok,
they have no control because
they have no control
from China.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, TikTok used to have a negative aspect to it in America because, well, first of all, the ironic thing is, I don't know if you know the history of TikTok. It was like a pornographic site or of some sort in the beginning. That's how it first accepted.
Really?
Yeah. That was its history. Unless I'm wrong, someone online listening, just fact check us, but I remember it was related to porn. Then it shifted, right? China then was able to, they say, social media, like, engage in social media in a type of warfare against America. Because if you look at the TikTok that's like coming out in China, it's highly educated. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of learning and thought theory behind it. And then if you look at the TikTok we're watching, it's like mostly like slapstick comedy and yeah. random folks doing really random things. Maybe you'll filter through it and finally you'll get something very beneficial.
Yeah.
And now because of AI, you watch that one thing and it'll just come up like 16 times right after, you know what I'm saying? Which yeah. it wasn't like that when it first came out, the TikTok. So like China had a big influence on like what Americans were really engaging in on TikTok.
Yeah.
But I bet you no one had an idea that TikTok would be used in this fashion. Mm-hmm. It's literally fueling.
Well, it fits the same mold.
Yeah.
It's still adversarial towards like the American government on the part of China. They feed us like a bunch of like this nonsense so that, you know, it's just kind of like a time suck. But like if there's a political issue that does not serve American interests, it's very clear that they will also probably not only allow these types of videos, but they'll probably promote them as well. Yeah. So they see people supporting the Palestinians on TikTok. They know that runs counter to American interests because we're allied with Israel, obviously. They're going to probably promote those videos. But it's, you know, TikTok is a Gen Z social media platform. And what's really interesting, like there was a leaked video.
You know what's funny real quick? I think President Biden and President of China were all in San Francisco recently when I was there. And I think President Biden basically called the President of China like a dictator. It just cracked me up.
Yeah.
Because Biden's saying some crazy stuff right now. And he's...
You can't predict what he's going to say anymore.
Yeah, you can't predict what he's going to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
There was a leaked audio recording of, I forget the guy's name, but he's the head of the ADL. And he was just basically like doing like a mild freak out saying like, we don't have the same control.
I saw this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have,
I saw this. They leaked that.
Yeah. They leaked it.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have any control over TikTok. That's where Gen Z is.
Yeah.
And so we basically like lost the narrative battle with Gen Z, and they are overwhelmingly pro-Palestinian.
Yeah.
And
they're worried about the younger generation and how they can't control their thoughts and where they're going with it.
Well, if you look at polling, like for support for Israel in America, it declines by about 20% with each generation in America. Like the boomers are the silent generation, which there's still some of them around. They're like the boomers' parents. They're at like 80% open support for Israel. Boomers are at like 60. Gen Z or Gen X is 40. We're like the millennials are like right around 40. But you get to Gen Z and they're at like 20%.
Did you know there's a generation in between millennials and Gen Z? And they're called Zennials or something?
Huh? They say that about like between millennial and Gen X too, which we're on the border of, you and I.
Yeah, so that one I actually fit more with when I was reading the description. But I hate these boxing and stuff. But yeah, I get the need for it at times. But now, how do we shift all this into what we're seeing at Talif and like what we've been like? Really, you and I have been talking about this for like 5 years. I know that. Ever since I've been executive director and you've been education director at Tel Aviv, we've been saying like, look, we're just going to keep our head down, keep doing the work and prepare for when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to open massive amount of doors for people to come in. And I don't think that's where we're at yet, but we saw a glimpse of it and we're like, whoa, what's happening?
I think, so it's not surprising to me because the demographic of people who tend to say their shahada, like overall, forget like what's going on in the world right now, generally speaking, is people in their young 20s. And so that's where Gen Z is at right now. It's the time in your life where you're figuring out who you want to be for the rest of your life, right? It's when I said my shahada, it's when Mike Swice said his shahada, like it's where like most of the people who come to Tatlif, that's where they're at in life. their early to mid-20s. So that's Gen Z right now. But I think the increase is due to like their unfiltered access right now to this situation in Palestine. They see it for what it is. And I was telling someone this the other day, like with a lot of converts, what happens to them is some truth that they've always held, because they received it from their parents or they received it from the wider society. That truth gets called into question. And it leads to a process of like radical questioning. Mm. It's like, if I can't believe this thing I've always believed, like what else can I not just totally put my faith in?
Yep.
And so right now you have a political situation where what most Americans have been told is like, you know, our support for Israel is not just a geopolitical strategic interest, it's a moral interest.
Right.
Right? They are in the moral right.
Right.
And we have to support them against the Palestinians. People are seeing that that is not true. Not only are they seeing that, but like you said, they're seeing that as people are getting bombs dropped on their head and their family members killed and their hospitals blown up, that they are coming out, the ones who live on the other side, and still like saying these amazing like statements of faith.
Right.
Like it's very clear that this is not called their faith into question at all. In fact, it's only strengthened it.
Yeah. And so in fact, some of them are like, bro, we're seeing like biblical level type of faith. Yeah. Like stuff that we read about and we're like, does this even exist anymore? And they're seeing it right in front of their eyes and they're like, whoa, how come these Muslims remind me of everything we read about in the Bible in these moments?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
But again, like for me more than and like my wife, like you said, my wife took her shahada in her 20s, mm-hmm. but she was like basically a Muslim way before then, to be honest with you, right? If you look at some other folks, yeah, it's around the 18, 20, 19, mm-hmm. right? They're really trying to figure out life, trying to figure out principles, trying to figure out morals, right? And the unthreading of certain realities that happen so quickly and drastically within the past month, mm-hmm. really pushed that group of people forward into Islam like we've never seen before. I would say even more than 9/11, or maybe 9/11 happened just as much, but we didn't get a great grasp about it because the world wasn't as affected by social media like it was then.
I think there was a delayed response to 9/11.
Mm.
Like, you know, you really had to piece together a worldview. If you were going to like come to a conclusion about like the war on terror that was counter to the mainstream narrative, that took time to sort of piece all that together because you didn't have this unfiltered access to what was going on like in the rest of the world. You like if you heard something on the news about like what Islam is and what Muslims are, like chances are it would take you time to see through that if you were ever going to see through it. Now it's just all immediate. And so like in the same month that these bombings started, people are immediately seeing the situation for what it is. And they're immediately taking an interest in Islam. And I think that's why it's happening so quickly. And it looks like this really like strange and wonderful thing to us, but it's just a result of that unfiltered access.
Bro, and speaking about 9/11, you know what's crazy that came back? I never thought this would come back in this kind of way or like, but nobody would have pegged this. Literally, a letter to America by Osama bin Laden was brought back to the forefront after all these years, shaking people's lives. Like, TikTokers were literally like,
yeah, it was like a whole genre.
It was like
for a while.
No, but it was like, I can't believe I'm actually seeing eye to eye with a man that has been so. I don't know. The nomenclature around him is nuts, right?
Yeah.
Like even us as Muslims, we didn't even like mention his name at times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're just like, yeah, But
and these weren't videos that Muslims were doing. They were almost all non-Muslims. Yeah,
and they're all non-Muslims now saying, bro, you got to read a letter to America. You got to read a letter to America. So much so that they started taking it down from
The Guardian.
The Guardian took it down, bro, and said, like, this used to be where... It's just insane. And they're looking at what he was representing. And one of the main things that really shook people about what he said is like, hey, you guys think America's free of all this, right? But when you pay tax dollars that ends up in the hands of people who are murdering innocent people, America will pay a certain, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Something's going to happen.
He was like, this is why we're attacking.
This is why we're attacking. Yeah. And people's minds were just like blown right now. Yeah. Being like, yeah, we were saying our tax dollars shouldn't go there. And they're like, they just can't. And so, like what you said earlier, it's like one thing that just like, not saying that I agree with Osama bin Laden, not saying that you agree with tactics or anything.
But it's a sign.
But there's a sign that hit them. Yeah. And it shook them to the core that it literally made everything else around them a question mark.
I think it's a sign that people are in that radical place of questioning now.
That's a good way to put it.
If I can actually read this letter from, frankly, like, you know, like you read 1984 and like they have like the 2 minutes hate.
George Orwell.
Right. Yeah. I forget who it is in that book, but every day they would have the 2 minutes hate to sort of like just like reinforce the sense of like solidarity amongst their citizens by directing like negative emotions at one target. Right. Like bin Laden was that target for like the past 20 years, especially like right after 9/11.
And it's being shattered.
And if people are, it doesn't matter, frankly, like what conclusions they come to about him or the letter. The fact that they're questioning anything at all shows that like they've really been plunged into a place where like they're going to have to reestablish their bearings, and they're going to come out of that like with a new compass.
Yeah,
right.
And I think that's going to be very interesting to watch navigate over the next 5 years, especially in America.
Yeah,
like it's going to be interesting. Is the least you know that I can say about it.
Yeah.
But what does that mean to us here, like with what we do at Tel Aviv? All this.
It just means we got to be ready.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we have to do anything differently because what we do already is what people need. I think we just have to be ready to do it at a rate and at a level that will actually be able to accommodate everyone who will come knocking and expressing an interest in Islam.
Yeah.
I expect it to be more over the coming year, 2 years, 3 years.
I expect the same. I mean, we're already seeing it. From last year to this year, our numbers alone of people coming into the faith or asking about the faith has doubled.
Yeah.
Has doubled. And that was without what's going on in Gaza.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at it, it's probably close to being tripled. Because every week, I'm getting way more individuals now. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I travel, I'm getting way more individuals interacting with me. More masajid asking me to talk to other people that are ready to take their shahada. It's like, what do we do with all these people now? You know what I'm saying? And it's so funny. One of my friends messaged me and said, hey, Talif really needs to like take the lead on some of this online stuff because you got like da'wah vultures. And I started cracking up that he used that. I've never heard that nomenclature before. It's like you got da'wah vultures, basically giving them like the wrong information about what Islam is, right? And he's afraid for them because he himself is a convert and he doesn't want him to go through that whole thing that you go through as a convert, right? He just wants him to settle somewhere good. I think that's where Talif really could come in, you know, where they don't have to go through this identity crisis. They won't have to go through, like, figuring out all the isms of Islam. They won't have to go through, like, what do I wear? What do I not? You know, they just come in and the space is like ready for them. And for the most part, like what I tell people at Talif, the best thing that we can do is get out of the way. Like let Allah do his work. The same Lord that brought that person to your doorstep is the same Lord that's going to guide him.
Yeah.
It's not like he's going to stop just because you came into the picture. He brought them to Talif, but it's like, how can you keep pointing at Allah and not pointing at yourself or pointing at an org, you know, or point at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's why one of the biggest things like in da'wah that I tell people, and this might sound crazy to some people. Although we're seeing a huge amount of people enter into Islam through the Quran, mm-hmm. right? Which is unbelievable. It's like, yeah, Muslims, wake up. Like, what more do you want, bro? Like, if you ain't reading the Quran, read the Quran. If you don't know how to engage with this thing, know that others that don't know a lick of Arabic or even half of what they're reading or even have the predisposed disposition that you do growing up as a Muslim, right, are now engaging with it and really making sense out of it on their own, even before going into tafsir, right, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is like these... what was I saying? What was I saying before I went into that tangent?
You just get out the way.
Yeah, you get out the way. But what I said, this is what I was saying. That a lot of people are entering into the faith because of the Quran right now, right? Mm. But once they're in the faith, what I tell them is if you really want to know this thing called Islam, if you really want to know the Quran really well, mm-hmm. right? Because they believe in God at that point. They understand. It's like, and they believe in the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they don't know him yet. So I actually tell them, like, the key to this is getting to know that man.
Yeah.
Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah. Everything else makes more sense. Everything else falls into play. All the questions that we have about certain ways of conduct in life or things that we deal with in terms of trial itself, mm-hmm. it's from the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Yeah. I think the second thing that we have to do, which may be challenging, is, yes, get out of the way, but then also, like, inevitably, when I say we, I mean, like, American Muslims generally.
Yeah.
This is a cohort of new Muslims who were brought into the religion by what they have seen from the Palestinians. And the Palestinians are like spiritual athletes right now.
Right.
They like, they're doing like feats yeah. of faith. Yeah. And you know, that is their first impression of Islam. Like, what are they going to think when they see us?
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to think when like Will Caldwell is like having a bad day because he got a flat tire and I'm a little like gruff when I come into the space. Yeah. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, no, like the bar has been raised
so high
for us collectively wow. as a community here in America because, you know, we're dealing with all of our petty nonsense, our just like day-to-day stuff and like getting flustered, getting upset about it. And they're gonna be like, wait a minute. I thought the Muslims were like what I was seeing on those videos coming out of Gaza. Why are these people just like, you know, like your regular Joe, like in terms of like their character?
Yeah.
Like the same people that I'm used to meeting. Like we really have to raise our own bars personally. And like you said, like embody the seerah, embody the character of the Prophet to a higher level, or else they're going to look around and be like, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're just going to be completely disillusioned, probably not with Islam, but with the Muslim community here in America. And so I feel like we really have to, in terms of our own engagement with what's going on in Gaza right now, like I hope it's a gut check for each and every one of us.
I think I've seen that across the board.
I do see it happen.
I do see it. Yeah. It's almost like a veil's been lifted for everyone.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, we're talking about non-Muslims that enter into Islam, but I've seen it within the Muslim community.
Yeah.
Food doesn't taste the same anymore.
Yeah. But we have to, like, you know, we have to retain that lesson.
I know.
Because, you know, we have a way of forgetting. Like, our memory is about the same length as the news cycle. Mm. And the news has already started to move on. Mm. And so, like, the question for me is, like, are we going to move on with it? Or are we really going to, like, learn something from this moment and integrate it into who we are?
Yeah.
I think that's the challenge.
Yeah.
Inshallah, we do. But I think the success of the Muslim community's sort of like integration and like assimilation of these new Muslims is very much going to depend on that.
Yeah. It's amazing. Maybe they're the ones that raised the bar for us after coming in.
Inshallah.
Allah renews this tradition in a very unique, beautiful whale many, many, many times over and over. Mm-hmm. You know, and these waves of people coming in, right? Obviously, they're going to have an impact on how America looks like here. I mean, how Islam looks like here in America. Mm-hmm. It's just, how do we navigate it collectively together? I mean, my piece is easy. It's just like, let folks come in, right? Find themselves here in Islam. And from there, the same timeless principles that we've had at Talif, that we've been doing for like 18 years now, right? Keep trucking along with them, you know? And like, I don't need to change anything here. Just, okay, a million people came into Islam. It's like, we're going to keep doing what we're doing because like, this is tried and tested. This is how you do things, you know? And then they'll take it and they'll bring it to another level themselves, you know? Yeah. When you and I are gone or when we're out the door or we did whatever Allah wants us to do, if inshallah, if it's accepted, right? But it's like, we got to be okay with letting folks that are coming in new to Islam to take the reins too.
Absolutely.
And that's a big thing that Muslims, that's a hard thing for Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ had some people enter into Islam, and the second they entered Islam, he literally told them, okay, that's all you need. You go now. You do this. And they come back with an ummah to the Prophet ﷺ. You know what I'm saying?
Been a big complaint from our generation about our parents' generation. Like, that was the origin of, like, the whole, like, unmosque thing that happened, a decade ago. Where it's like,
they tried to wrap Talif in with that, but we were never on mosque. In fact, when they said that, we were like, no, bro, we're trying to direct people to the mosque.
Yeah.
But
But nonetheless, like, that was a strongly felt sentiment.
Yeah, I remember
for quite a long time.
That.
And it was the same thing. Like, no one was handing them the reins. Mm. I should say us. Like, you know, no one was handing us the reins. Like, okay, like, you take this thing now. But the fact is like, you know, the youth have the energy, the youth have the passion, and we're getting old.
Yeah,
now.
We are.
Like, we're both pushing 40.
I got gray hairs, bro.
Yeah, we have gray hairs in our beards, you know, on our heads.
We're getting injured just lifting little weights.
Yeah, you don't have to bring that up.
I'm playing a little basketball, you're out for 7 days now.
I'm still spry.
Hey, man. A number. Age is just a number.
Exactly.
Not what your bones say.
Yeah.
I'm a chiropractor, trust me.
But I think we have to be a lot more intentional about that. And frankly, like, you know, just be cognizant of, like, where the success is coming from. Like, it's coming from these 20-somethings right now. Like, they have, like, the reins of this thing already. It's not a question of if we're going to give it to them.
They took it.
It's a question of, like, are we going to fight them over it
and
cause a bunch of fitna?
I'm so with you on
that. Or are we just going to, like, follow Allah's lead on this?
We got to trust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's not easy. It's not easy for people.
Well, we both know how tired we are. It might be easy, actually.
I'm not talking about us. I know people are like, in California or Chicago, they look at me, they're like, oh, you've been ED for some time now, that's good. And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to pass the baton. And they all look at me like I'm crazy when I'm saying that, because they think I'm youthful and whatnot. But, you know, it's also a credit to the older generation, too. Like, look, yeah, okay, maybe in certain areas they've failed in certain aspects, but man, have they succeeded in other aspects than that. Yeah, they might have hung on rings really long, but bro, did they sacrifice and build things that they built stuff that I feel like we weren't born to build those specific things, and now they built them, and we're born to build something else that literally stands on the shoulder of them. And then now we're hoping these new waves of Muslims and our kids, you and I, that are like, bro, our kids don't fit anywhere. You know what I'm saying? My kids, like, half Greek, half Syrian, fully American. Right, they go to like the whatever, you know, the Christmas family party, then they go to Eid and et cetera, and they understand that Christmas is not their holiday, but they're honoring their right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, they would have never fit in where I grew up at that time, you know what I'm saying? Predominantly Arab, you know, it's like this new wave, right? Your kids are the same thing, right? Mike's kids and others that we know about, they're like mixed with all of this stuff, right? And they're going to pave a way. And I really believe the people coming into Islam now are going to help us get there even quicker, so then our kids will even benefit even more, instead of being in these like silos of like segregated communities or whatever that's happening in the US.
No, I mean, it's not a dig at the older generation.
It's not at all.
But
I honor them all.
It's not like to say, well, you need to get out of the way now. But I think we have to recognize that as we get older, as we mature, our roles change. I really see us as being, inshallah, like moving into like a coaching role. Like, I'm on the sidelines. You're going to throw the ball.
Yeah.
But I have some experience that I want to pass down to you, so that you can throw that ball really well.
Right.
You know, that's where I see us going. And I think this whole thing with Gaza has just accelerated it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is a good place to probably stop for today. Unless you have some final thoughts.
No, that's it. I mean, that's a lot off my chest.
Yeah.
You know, just been watching this now for a month and a half. And thinking about all of this.
All of us are thinking about it nonstop. But yeah, anyways, follow us on Talith Podcast, the Welcome Home Podcast, anytime on any of the mediums. It's amazing to be with you guys. My name is Dr. Ali Dia, and with us was Dr. Will Caldwell. And it's an honor to be with you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.